behind me. You know, I've done a lot of things I'm proud of in life and a lot of things I'm not proud of, and that was one of the things that's been brought up most of my life since it happened, was falling off the stage last year. So, I'm just going to be proud of it now. Oopsies. Yay. Thank you, Michael, for asking me to teach. And thank you, Christina, who's up there watching me. Thank you for translating me. Best of luck. I just feel like she's watching me. She is. She's judging me. All right, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Please. Philippians chapter 2. I was going to kind of point at the verse and read it all together, but that's when I fell off the stage last year, so we're not doing that. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, our theme verse. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That word, "which worketh," it's this word energeo. It means to be operative. It means to be active. It means to be at work in. It means to be energized in, to be powerful, energetic in. It means to produce an effect. So what it's saying here is that God is active in you. God produces an effect in you. God works in you. He's operative in you. He's at work. And he's energetic in you. He's ready to go. So it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." I want to look at that word where it's used somewhere else in Ephesians chapter 1. This word to be active in. Ephesians chapter 1. This is what happens when God is active in a situation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." That word in verse 20, wrought, it's that same word. So Jesus Christ was dead and God activated his power and got him up. When God operates his power, not even death stands a chance. All right. So when God works, when God's active, he does major things. And what it says in Philippians chapter 2, let's go back there. Philippians chapter 2, it says God's active in you. So kind of the level of potential of your life has just skyrocketed. Well, it's been that way. You didn't just get born again this very second. But we're going to just see the potential of our lives today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Yes, I know we just read it. I didn't forget. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh, he's active in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And that word "to do," that's the same word. That means that you get to be active in this life. You get to do. You get to be effective. You get to be energized because God is working in you. So it says, "It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of your good pleasure, of his good pleasure." And we're going to look at that for a little bit now. God is active in you, and he's going to work in you both to want to do and be able to do his good pleasure. So it's very important for us to know what God's good pleasure is. What does God want? What gives God pleasure? Those are the things that God is going to work in us to do. So we're going to look at a few things now that give God pleasure. But before, I want to go to Amos chapter 3. It's in the Old Testament, and that's the only hint I'm giving you. Now, it's a little bit before Matthew. Just kind of turn through those little mini books. I think in the Spanish Bible, it's page 1303. Yes. I shared this teaching in Spanish for my fellowship, and I was like, I can't teach in Spanish and get to the books of the Bible in Spanish, so I'm writing page numbers down. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And this, to me, is just the simplest explanation of walking with God that there could possibly be. Can any two walk together except they be agreed? If Grant and I are going to go on a walk together, okay, I'm going to stand up. Here we go. Okay, I'm nervous. Here, Grant, come on up here. Grant, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so Grant and I are going to go on a walk together, so we need to agree which way we're going to go. All right? So, I'm going to go this way. Okay, let's go. Okay. Oh, all right. Thank you. He did not practice that. I didn't speak to him about it ahead of time. Sorry. Did we walk together? We decided to go different ways. Walking with God, let's just decide to go the same way God's going. It's very simple. So it's very important for us to agree with God. God is going to work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, but let's agree with him. So, what are some things that God wants? Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And, you know, we know a lot of things that God wants. The Bible is full of what God wants for people. We're just going to look at a few things here, but these are the things that we want to agree with. These are the things that give God pleasure, so these are the things that we want to have as our priorities. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." One thing God wants. God wants people to have a more than abundant life. And in PFAL, we learned that a more than abundant life means in every category of life. That's the word zoe. It's life in all of its manifestations. In this world, a lot of people have great jobs, but their home lives aren't great. Some people, have a lot of money, but they have no friends. Some people, there's just tons of examples like that, where maybe one category of their life is great, but other categories suffer. And sometimes it's at the expense of that one category just being so great. Our lives are great in every category. That's more than abundant life. Every category of your life, God wants to be in abundance. He wants, I'm getting ahead. We're going to read a few more verses, but that's what God wants for people. He wants that for your life, so you should want that for your life as well. And then we go a step further. We should want that for other people's lives, and we're going to go into that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is one of my absolute, absolute favorite sections in God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 2. How's Christina doing? Is she making sense? Just give me a thumb. All right, cool. Great job, Christina. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Translations are such an amazing service that we're able to provide to God's people. And the mystery is living because there's people from all over the place who get to hear the same word together, and they get to hear it in a way they understand it. And it just blows my mind. So I'm very thankful for the translation team. But why don't we give them a little... 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. So these four verses we're going to read are a few things God wants for people, okay? So let's just, one at a time. Verse 1 says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." So, number one, one thing that gives God pleasure, one thing that God wants, is God wants people prayed for. And actually, God wants everyone prayed for. So we're good. We're very good at praying for the believers, and we want to expand that. Pray for the believers, but pray for your neighbor. Pray for our country. Pray for leadership. God says here that one of his priorities is that everyone gets prayed for. And thankfully, speaking in tongues aids in that, because we don't know a lot about everyone, do we? But we can speak in tongues for people. So one thing that we should have as a priority in our life is praying for people. And God works within you in your prayer life. And there are some incredible believers in this room who are excellent examples of God working in them in their prayer life to to pray for, what it is that needs to be prayed for. And many of you have been prayed for and didn't even know it by these very faithful people. So God works in us in our prayer life. That needs to be something that we give a lot of priority to. And in verse 2, we need to pray that our government allows us to continue to do what we're doing. All right, very clear. Verse 3, why? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So it's good. All right, so let's just do it. Verse 4, another priority. Who, this is talking about God, will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Major goal here. God wants, is it some men to be saved? What does it say? All. Totals. All. All right? That was a terrible accent. Everyone's mad at me now. All right. God wants all people to be saved. And we need to really remember what saved means. When you get somebody born again, you are giving them eternal life. And then when they know the word of God and they're born again, they can speak it to their families. You know what that's doing for a family? They're going to be together in eternity. I mean, we got to get this out there. You're allowing people to have eternal life for God to show his goodness for the rest of time. Getting people saved is very simple. Romans 10:9, you can jot it down. That's how to do it. And we're going to look a little bit more that God will work in us to be able to help get people saved. But there's more in this verse. It says, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So the knowledge there is such a cool word. It's epignosis. I just like saying it. It's more emphatic than just having knowledge of something like this is a mini house on a table. I know that, okay? It's a participation of the knower. So there's a mini house here, but I'm picking it up, and it has really tiny windows, and there's a hole at the bottom, and I can only guess maybe you put a candle in it. But now I'm, like, getting to know this little tiny house. The knowledge of the truth, it's a participation of the knower. It's a knowledge that has influence on the knower. So who here, raise your hand if you're from Venezuela. I wrote down how to say it in Spanish. Levanta tus manos si eres de Venezuela. See? Okay, there's a bunch of you. Okay, one really cool thing that's from Venezuela besides you all are arepas. And we love arepas, right? Yeah. So there's this really cool restaurant in Atlanta. It's called Arepa Mia. It means my arepa. And they have really, really good food there. So here's knowing something is, I know that there's a restaurant in Atlanta called Arepa Mia. Great. I have that knowledge. But the epignosis is I go there and I have it and I enjoy the fruit of that knowledge. It's very simple. And that's what God wants for the whole world in regards to his word. He doesn't want people to just know that the Bible exists. He wants people, like, their heads in the Bible. This is not how you do it, but visual. He wants people's lives to be changed by his word. He wants people to have the epignosis. He wants people to understand to the point where it changes their lives. He wants people to know what is available, how to receive it, and what to do with it after they have it. And we are the ones who have that information. So two huge goals here in these four verses. Actually, I'm going to kind of call it three. Prayer. All men to be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Okay? So, you know, we want to get people their arepas, okay? If you get anything out of this teaching, hopefully it's not that. Okay? 3 John chapter 2. You guys with me so far? Is anyone hungry for arepas now? I didn't think ahead, and I did not bring arepas for the food crew, so sorry, everyone. Maybe somebody will save the day today and just have them. 3 John, verse 2. I don't know. I probably said chapter 2. 3 John, verse 2. 3 John. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Two more things God wants for people. Two more things that give God pleasure. God wants people to prosper. Very simple. And God wants people healthy. All right? We understand that. God wants people to prosper and be healthy. Now, prosper doesn't necessarily mean to have a lot of money, but prosper means to have everything you need. All right? And that's what God wants for people. And we actually, Steve went to this verse today But my God shall supply all thy needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you speak the word to somebody, God's responsible to meet their needs, okay? So don't feel like you have to take the place of God for them. Once you speak the word to somebody, you help them receive the promises of God, and God will come through for the people that you speak the word to, okay? So let's trust God to do what he says he's going to do there. But God, two things that give God pleasure are people prospering, and he wants people healthy, all right? So let's keep that in mind, that we want those things too. Here's another cool one, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And we're going to read verse 26. So this is talking about when the believers are together, such as we are right now. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto making yourself look good. No, let all things be done unto edifying. Edifying is really simple, building up. Pretend this little fairy house is made of bricks, and you make it by putting all the little bricks together till it's built up into a beautiful house, okay? When the believers are together, we're just building each other up. And that's why we have... This is talking about the manifestations and your long suits. Whatever you do for the body, you're doing it to build up the body, okay? A good picture of this is a kind of a camp like this, actually. So it's an enormous amount of work and detail that goes into putting something like this together. And there are people who are on the crew and helping who are strategically put where they're put because they're good at doing what it is they're in charge of. And a ton is happening right now. There's kids and children's fellowship. There's coffee brewing right now for you guys later. There's all these logistics happening all over the place. And it takes these believers working together to make something like this happen. And something like this is an easy visual to see what people are good at, to see the body working together. But it doesn't end this weekend. Our entire life is an event with God. Your entire life is an advance. Your entire life is a camp. And we need to be just as active as we are at something like this, just in our lives. And we need to really bring what we have to the table to edify people all the time. Your whole life is an opportunity to build up the believers. Your whole life. Every time you're at a fellowship together, any time that you're with just a few believers, your whole life is an opportunity to build up believers. So one of God's priorities here is that the believers are edified, that the believers are built up. All right, these are really simple goals. We're going to look at a visual here of God's priorities in Matthew chapter 4. We have so many opportunities to get to edify people. And, you know, if you're trying to figure out what you're good at in the body of Christ, just do everything. Just try everything. And you'll see what you're good at, and you'll see what you can let somebody else do. But it's really cool. If there's no one to do something and you're there, will God work in you? All right. It's really cool. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. So we're going to read these two verses here of Jesus Christ's life. Now remember, Jesus Christ is like a visual of what God would do if he were a human. If God were a human walking around the earth, Jesus Christ is a picture of what it is he would be doing, okay? And these verses, so verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he," what? "Healed them." Okay. We saw before that God wants people to prosper and be in health. Jesus Christ went about healing people. It says here that he preached the gospel in verse 23. He healed all manner of diseases, and he took care of people with all kinds of problems. So If God were a person walking around, he'd be walking around healing people. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing. Let's also see in Luke chapter 4. We're in Matthew, so Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 4. So Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do, and he was hustling, healing people. Luke chapter 4. I think Vicky made fun of me yesterday for using the word hustle, and I just used it again. Clearly, I still feel good about it. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4:18. This is Jesus Christ talking. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty that them that are what?" This is Jesus Christ talking. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 19, very important. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. I'm not going to get into that right now, but he quoted the Bible very accurately here. Jesus Christ is saying here, "I'm here, and I have spirit, and I'm anointed to do the following. Preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty to them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus Christ knew why he was anointed to do what he did. He knew what God wanted, and he carried it out. And so some things that God wants done here is he wants the gospel preached. He wants the brokenhearted to be healed. And when you're brokenhearted, you know you want that healed. God wants the people in captivity delivered. God wants those that are blind to have their sight recovered. And he wants people to be at liberty who are bruised. Bruised is somebody who's downtrodden, who's crushed, who's broken down, and they're just in captivity. And God wants people who are in captivity to be freed. And the adversary has this world captive at his will, and God wants them released. And he wants them released ASAP. So these are some priorities God has. In Luke chapter 5, I'll wait for you to get there, Luke 5. That took too long. Luke, I'm just kidding. Luke chapter 5. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. We're actually going to John chapter 5. Now I just look like a silly person. Luke, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. But good job getting to Luke 5. Good job. John chapter 5. I'm just going to read Luke 5 in a minute here. John chapter 5, verse 30. And this is such a cool key here. It says, "I can of mine own self do nothing." This is Jesus Christ talking. He said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." Perfect blood, perfect dude, knew everything real well from the scriptures. "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just," or "I'm right, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." God worked in Jesus Christ both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Jesus Christ said here, "I'm successful because I don't seek my will. I'm doing what God wants." And this is a huge key for our lives. If we want to be walking with God and we want to be seeing things happen, we want to heal people, we want to deliver people, we want to get people released from the captivity that is this world, we need to be seeking God's will. We need to kind of, you know, maybe abandon our own priorities that might not line up with what God wants and want what God wants. So that when I see Christy, I want her edified. I want her healed. I want her, I don't know if you have a broken heart, but broken heart healed, you know, that's what I want. And when you want what God wants, the information will be right there for you. So Jesus Christ was so successful because in every situation, he looked to do what God wanted, not what he wanted. And that enabled him to have that perfect walk. And this is a mental habit that we can have. We're not going to be perfect and just always only want the purest things. But we can certainly put the word into our mind like Steve taught and kind of realize what God's priorities might be. And maybe see our own priorities adjust in different categories of our life. You can build a habit of looking to God by and knowing what he wants by just reading his word often and seeing what God's priorities are and making the habit of just saying, okay, God, what do you want here? And just taking that moment instead of being like, oh, I want this to happen. Like, oh, this person has a need, so I'd prefer to just hide under the table. Instead of kind of defaulting to what you'd want, you say, God, what do you want here? And those are the ways you overcome fear and you just become so bold. There's a lot of perks of just doing what God wants because you're going to see cool things happen. John chapter 14. So Jesus Christ was very successful. John chapter 14. And Jesus Christ, we only read a few things here. Jesus Christ raised the dead. He healed the sick. He, cleansed incurable diseases like leprosy. When people were hungry and didn't bring their own food, he made sure they were fed. He could have been like, you should have thought of that yourself, but he made sure they got fed. Jesus Christ spent one-on-one time with people. He healed people's hearts by forgiving them. I mean, Jesus Christ did so many things, and this is crazy, this verse here. John chapter 14, verse 12 and 13. Again, this is Jesus Christ talking. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and I know you all do, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And verse 14, just read it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So this verse, remember before we talked about like raising the expectation of your life, you can now picture yourself doing everything Jesus Christ did. Because it says here, the works that I do shall he do also. So that means the works that Jesus Christ did, Hannah shall do also. The works that Jesus Christ did, Nicole shall do also. It's you do them also. And greater works. Jesus Christ didn't speak in tongues. You can. And that's a whole other teaching about the benefits of speaking in tongues. But I highly recommend it. I'll summarize it with highly recommend. So these are kind of like enormous goals, though. And sometimes it's a little maybe overwhelming to like be like, okay, I don't want to live my life like the world does. I really want to live my life the way God wants me to. But how in the world is God going to work in me to do this stuff? And God is very loving to explain exactly how he's going to do it. Maybe not exactly, but he gives us the basic mechanism by how he's going to do it. Good luck with that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the recording, I was talking to Christina, who was translating for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How is God going to work in me to bring these huge goals that God has for people to come to pass? And I say they're huge goals, but the solution doesn't have to be some giant spectacle. They're huge goals, but God's able to do very cool things in very funny ways. Very, very simple ways, because it's God's power. It's not about how grand the solution looked or if there were fireworks. It's about God's limitless power just kind of like being like, and the situation's handled, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. So how in the world does God work in us? Let's see. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So how does God work with us? It's a spiritual matter. And God does not want us ignorant concerning spiritual matters. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So what it's saying here in verses 4 through 7 is that there are gift ministries, there are services, there are effects produced, that's operations, there are manifestations, There are all sorts of ways and functions in the body of Christ, but it's the same Spirit working in all of them. It's the same source of power working in each of those things. Verse 6, it says, it is the same God which worketh all in all. Remember that word from earlier in the teaching, energeo, to be operative, to be active, to produce an effect, is the same word right here. So in verse 6, it is the same God which is active, is operative, produces effect in the gift ministries, in the manifestations of the Spirit, in the services of the body, and all those effects produced. It's the same God who is working in all of those. It's the same Spirit that we have, and it's the same God who is at work in all of those things. It's incredible. Verse 8. 4:1, and that's for to one profit. So for one reason, one benefit, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. So there are 9 manifestations here. And these manifestations are what enable you to bring God's goals to pass. The manifestation of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, knowing something you couldn't possibly know in a situation by your 5 senses, God can tell you. Maybe somebody has a broken heart, and God tells you. Maybe you could have never known that, but God tells you they have a broken heart. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. What can you do about it? Do you speak God's word to them? Do you hug them? God gives us that kind of information. When our goals are heal people, you know, deliver the brokenhearted, to release people in captivity, when our goals are that, then we're going to see situations the way God sees them, and then we're going to have that information. Our life is so spectacular. And we heard in manifestations this morning how much God wants to take care of people. It starts with you. God wants to take care of you. And then you're taken care of, and you get to help take care of other people. It's incredible. So word of knowledge, word of wisdom, those are, I mean, hard to summarize those, but things, what God knows, he'll let you know. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So, literally, there is a manifestation for healing people, all right? Gifts of healing. So sometimes it's instantaneous healing, which would be a miracle, and sometimes the cause gets removed, and then the symptoms go away, all right? But God has a manifestation for that. You can heal people. God gave you a manifestation for this. It's God active, who is active in producing that manifestation in your life, all right? God's the one working it. He's got the equipment, and he's making it happen. Verse 10. Another, the working of miracles. That could be anything. That could be anything. A miracle doesn't require fireworks, by the way. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So we've got speaking in tongues. We've got interpretation of tongues. We've got prophecy. When the believers are together, we get to edify each other with those things. Discerning of spirits. Remember, God wants the people who are captive released, and the adversary has no right to them. So discerning of spirits, you find out what's there, and like Steve taught us, you tell it in the name of Jesus Christ to go. You have this manifestation. And Jesus Christ said, the works that I do shall ye do also, or you do also. All right? And then it says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing or distributing to every man severally as the man wills. So I have a little example about this one Spirit energizing all these things. So there's a phone here. I'm going to pick it up and then put it right down, because I'm sure I'm messing something up. Cell phone. Have you all seen one of these before? Have you all held one with your hands before? Yes, we know what a cell phone is. Okay. There's this one cell phone. It's this one item. But if I need a flashlight, I can turn on, I'm going to turn on a flashlight, and now I can see when I need a flashlight. If I need to call my friend Kelsey, I have this function on the phone, this manifestation on the phone, and I can call her. If I need maps to find somewhere, how to get somewhere, which I use every day in Atlanta, by the way, because traffic, you just need it. you have that app. And it's one item, but it does so many different things for so many different reasons. It's just when you need something, it has it. It's one item, but multiple things that it can do. You've got one spirit, but there's nine manifestations, all right? This phone's got one battery that enables it to do all these different functions. You've got the battery, you've got the spirit, and there's all these functions that it can do just when you need it. You're not going to speak in tongues and interpret when you're by yourself, but when there's three of you or more together, you sure can, and when you need it. When somebody needs to be healed, do you have that manifestation? Yes. God will work in us to do what it is he wants done. God is active in us because you have spirit. You have spirit so that God is able to be active in you. And it says you will. God is always willing to be at work in you, to will and to do of his good pleasure. He always wants to be working with you. And we just should not be let fear get in the way. Let's just say, hey, I do want what God wants, so I'm willing to do whatever he works in me to do. So we can overcome, you know, being kind of afraid to talk to somebody. We can overcome being nervous to speak in tongues and interpret at a believer's meeting. Why? Because we know what God wants. And all I want is what God wants. So there are some really cool benefits to walking with God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. God is going to work in you because he gave you spirit. He doesn't just say, this is what I want. Figure it out. You're on your own. Sing people songs all the time and that'll work. No. God has goals and he gave us the tools that we need. And that's how God works in you. And God will tell people things in different ways. He works with you as an individual. So something that may get through to me might not get through to someone else. That's okay. You know, and the more that you just ask God for what he wants and expect an answer, you're going to get those answers. God works in you. He's active in you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Specifically, this is talking to Timothy about his gift ministry. And Paul is telling him to kindle up, fan the flames of your ministry. Kindle it up. Inflame your mind. Give it zeal. And stir up the gift of God that is in you. Why? Because verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given you his spirit. The only thing in the way of you doing it is fear, and fear is no place in your life. God is going to work in you. He's going to back up his word. He is going to be active in the situation and produce what it is he wants produced. So, and he's saying in verse 7, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. That's not one of the manifestations. But power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is a self-controlled mind. He doesn't want any influence from spirits or the world. He wants your mind under your control by way of his word, all right? So God's priorities for people are easily accessible because they're written down here, and let's not let fear get in the way of us carrying them out. Mark chapter 16. And Steve mentioned that the adversary knows what a loser he is. And he just wants people to not know God's word to prevent any further damage to his priorities. The adversary would love for us to mentally assent to God's word where we know it's available, but we do nothing with it. That's what he would prefer, especially among us who've been taught. He would prefer that we just assent to what we know it to know it, and do nothing with it. What God wants is you to just put it to use. Be active. And it's a huge privilege that we get to do that. And you can be active in situations by speaking in tongues for the situation. I mean, you know, you could sit here right now and be spiritually active because you're speaking in tongues. I mean, any time of day, you can be working. I don't know what I just said. Where are we going? Thank you. Mark 16. Matthew, Mark 16. This is not a good song. Mark 16. Did you sing that? Yes, thank you. I thought she sounded like an angel last night, Christina. If I knew how angels sing, it would be that. I thought it was gorgeous. Mark chapter 16. So, verse 19, it says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." So Jesus Christ was out. Verse 20, what did they do? Well, they did nothing. No. And they went. They went forth and preached everywhere. They proclaimed and announced everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The Lord working with them, God was their partner in labor. They went out after Jesus Christ left and they preached the word. And God was their partner in labor. And he confirmed the word with signs following. On our part, we do what we know to do. We speak the word. We do whatever we know to do. God will give you more information when you need it, but he is going to confirm his word. God is responsible to confirm his word, and he will absolutely do so. So let us be the people that carry out what God wants in this world. He works in you. We've heard in the past few teachings, he's not mad at you. There's no separation. You don't have to be embarrassed in front of God. So we can just get over that, get over the condemnation, and see ourselves as Jesus Christ today. And we can be the people who walk out, and we're able to because God works in you.